You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Thank you for stopping by to check in on us. It's Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall with you and ready and prepared to look at this week's two golf events. We've got a couple of decent events, in fact, with the season ender on the European Tour, the DP World Tour Championship, and on the PGA Tour we are heading to Sea Island for the RSM Classic this week. Dave Tindall missed the podcast last week, but the world and his wife were on Harris English, and it looked good going into the final round. He'd dominated the event to a large extent, despite not taking advantage of the par fives. Wasn't quite to be, but managed to secure the full place last week.
Yes. Hello, everyone. Everybody. Everyone. 50-1. It was the wrong price, wasn't it? I think everyone in golf betting world quickly realised that that was a carrot dangling that had to be taken, and gave us a good run. Didn't quite get it done on the par fives, which was annoying people because it looked like he could stretch four or five clear and he played those better. And then it looked like he wasn't going to get it done. And then just that little glimmer of hope on the Sunday night, it was bad weather affected it, so we couldn't get it finished. He just pulled to within one, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then he left himself a putt for the following morning, and then came out and just, I don't know, did he have a bad night's sleep or something? I don't know what happened. Maybe he realised the whole of the UK were on him.
It was because I had a complete blank week last week as far as the golf was concerned. I decided to go to Cheltenham and lose my money on the horse racing instead. And I was just periodically checking in on Twitter, and the whole of the golf betting fraternity was aboard Harris English. It was incredible. And I was seeing regular updates on his progress and hoping that, obviously I knew you were on him, that he could bank a 50-1 winner. Wasn't quite to be, but we've ticked over nicely with a couple of places the last couple of weeks, with Victor Perez the week before being beaten in that 25-man playoff in Turkey. But you need those winners, don't you? We were talking a bit about this off-air.
Yeah, they sort of, you know, they buy you maybe a, they make you a profit that week.
Yeah, a week and a half,
and maybe buy you the stakes for the following week. But you don't get that many opportunities to get a 50-1 or 66-1. So when they're close, it's tantalising, isn't it?
As for what happened in the Nedbank Golf Challenge, Tommy Fleetwood stormed through the field to take the title, just reward for a season of near misses, including in the Open Championship. He hadn't shown a lot of form in the month leading up to the tournament, but he is obviously an elite player, Fleetwood. And I think if you bang at it at Sun City, you can shoot low numbers and come from behind and win. But it's a course that if you're just a little bit off, it exposes frailties. And it's one of those where if you're going into the final round five or six back, not to give up hope, because you know the leading players can struggle.
That's right. I mean, if you look at Louis Oosthuizen, who started like a house on fire, 9-under in his first round. What did he finish at? 7-under or something?
Yeah.
So he played most of the week over par, but he had kidney stones, didn't he? Did you say that?
I didn't know.
Yeah, in the build-up he almost pulled out, which would have been the 95th time he's withdrawn on the eve of a tournament. But with a new one to his repertoire, it's normally like a bad neck, isn't it, or something? Kidney stones. But he got over that. Look, the winner for most of it, and you thought he's probably going to get this done, still led in the final round and came home in 40, and could just see him slowly dying. And there was Tommy Fleetwood, three eagles in the final round. That's some going, isn't it? So maybe as well, Tommy Fleetwood has played the Louis Oosthuizen role, hasn't he? Got out there from the start and looked, and then just had a bad day somewhere. Mm. So maybe it just helped Fleetwood to just go into that last day with a bit of pressure off.
Yeah, I get the feeling. I know Oosthuizen's got a tremendous record in South Africa, but it was such a Louis Oosthuizen performance, wasn't it? I know he had the kidney stones. Well, you've just told me he had them, but it was the sort of performance that's typical of his career, isn't it?
Well,
is that a bit harsh, do you think?
Possibly. Just
Don't you think with that? With his talent, he's underachieved.
Yeah, he's not won an event on American soil, as he still, which is ridiculous. He's got that flaky streak in him if stuff's going wrong. And it reared its head again. He's not won that event. Maybe that added some pressure to him.
Yeah, because it is like Africa's major.
But yeah, but if you'd backed him five places, maybe in running or four places, you would have just been tearing your hair out, wouldn't you? That he didn't even get that.
Got to mention Brendan Todd.
Yeah.
Bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah. He'd just been away for a fortnight and a couple of weeks, 3 weeks. So they see Todd wins again, both at three-figure prices, I think.
Yeah, I know. He was 100-1 last week, wasn't he, in the Mayakoba Classic. And we spoke in great detail about Todd and his journey a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, so I won't go into all that. But, yeah, he's got a chance to win three titles on the PGA Tour in a row this week, which we'll come on to very shortly. Let's start with the big event, though, the DP World Tour Championship on the European Tour. And the latest betting sees Rory McIlroy at the top of the market here with William Hill at 4-1. We're betting a quarter of the odds, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 this week with this limited field. John Rahm is 13-2, Tommy Fleetwood 14-1, Patrick Reed is 18s, Tyrrell Hatton is 18-1, Justin Rose is 18-1, Matthew Fitzpatrick is 20s, Louis Oosthuizen in the 22-1, he'll win this week after what I've just said.
No, he won't.
Henrik Stenson is 25s, Paul Casey and Bernd Wiesberg are both 28s, and it's 33-1 and bigger the rest. And this event takes place at the Earth Course yet again. It's a standard desert track, not particularly penal off the tee. And even though it's long, measuring 7,677 yards, it isn't that difficult. Big greens that are nigh on impossible to miss from the fairway and pristine putting surfaces, plenty of room off the tee. And Bernd Wiesberger is in the box seat to win it all after his terrific comeback season, 3 wins on tour. And of those looking to exert the most pressure, John Rahm and Tommy Fleetwood are in position to do so. They are the ones that are most likely to overhaul Wiesberger at the top of the standings.
I've got this funny feeling somebody will reel him in.
He's odds on, isn't he? Is he odds on?
Yeah, he's odds on, yeah.
To win it?
To win the race to Dubai, yeah. I don't know. I don't want to sort of discredit him, but it doesn't seem quite right that Bernd Wiesberger is Europe's number one.
Have you looked into the permutations this week in terms of what it's going to take the others?
Yeah, they all... there's five of them who can still win it. So you've mentioned Rahm and Fleetwood. Matt Fitzpatrick can still win it. Who's the other one then?
McIlroy?
No. It's just poor prep, isn't it? I know in my head I've just...
Completely forgotten. Yeah. I must admit, I've not even, because I've studied the event and not the, I don't think the permutations in terms of the race to Dubai matter from a betting perspective in terms of the tournament.
Yeah, possibly, but...
Do you think he plays a factor?
Only in the fact that in this event, and we've seen in the Tour Championship down the years, you've seen the leader kind of absolutely blow it as if it's a bit of a weight on their shoulders, and someone maybe making a bit of a run. Shane Lowry's the other one, isn't he?
Yeah, of course.
I think Wiesberger might just be playing with a bit of added pressure this week, and then he might finish midfield, and then one of the others. They all need a top two or three, Matt Fitzpatrick needs a win, and maybe his is the clearest sort of goal. You've got to win it. Which is going to lead me on to a bet on him.
How do you view the top end of the market, first of all? McIlroy at 4-1 has an exemplary record at the Earth Course. Par 72.
Yeah, I'll tell you now, he's going to win.
McIlroy?
Yeah, it's just what do you do with the 4-1? Do you just... he can't not win this week, I'm afraid. It's just... He's too good. He's in too good a form, and he's absolutely
Given how bullish you are, what you do with a 4-1 is you pile in, don't you?
Possibly, but gamble responsibly. 4-1 isn't great. He's a two-time course winner, 2012, 2015. He's only finished outside the top 11 once in what? He's played it every year, basically missed 2017. That's the only one.
Yeah.
First win came in Dubai, didn't it? Dubai Desert Classic 2009. He won that again in 2015. I mean, he is now back to sort of proper Rory, isn't it, that we remember from, say, 2014. I just think this is an open goal for him to win.
Why isn't Rahm going to win?
If John Rahm had played more in recent weeks, I think he'd give him a hell of a fight, and he might still do so, but he's played once since September.
Yeah, 6 weeks off he's had.
Yeah. I mean, he did win the Open. He did win his home Spanish Open, but that came on the back of a little run of two events the week before. When he won the Irish Open, he'd played the Andalusia Masters the week before.
Yeah.
I just think it's asking a lot for him to put four rounds together. I think he'll have a duff day at some point, which will be down to some rust.
Okay.
So sometimes you think, oh, well, he might start slow. Sometimes when you're rusty, sometimes you start fast, but then it sort of kicks in round two.
Yeah.
So I just think over the piece, Rory will have too much for him.
You've got a back McIlroy, given how confident you are.
Yeah, I'm just trying to work out. I'm thinking of putting him in a... Do you remember this? These sort of late season podcasts, we always talk about the favourites going in.
Yeah.
So I'm going to... We've got the Dunlop Phoenix this week in Japan.
We have.
So one thought I had, and I might do this, was to put him in fairly obvious with Hideki Matsuyama at 7-2.
Yeah.
4-1, 7-2. I think that's just over 20-1 double, isn't it, that?
Yeah.
Matsuyama, by the way, his record in that event, just to sort of clarify that he is...
Yeah, you're not just throwing him in there for no reason.
Yeah, because he's Japanese and he's playing in Japan. It's a bit more... thought about it than that, but he's won that event before, runner-up twice as well. I think he's won three of his last nine starts in Japan.
Yeah,
and of course we saw him recently when they played the Zozo Championship and the CJ Cup over in Asia. He was third and second in those two events.
Yeah.
So he's a worthy 7-2 shot. He's got for company Gary Woodland.
It's a decent field, isn't it, this
Gary
year?
Woodland has got an excellent record in the Far East, so you've got to respect that. He's 5-1. Colin Morikawa, 7-1. Obviously, we really like him on here, but I don't know whether he should quite be 7-1.
It's close to Matsuyama in the betting, though.
Yeah, given it's a bit of a, you know, he's not got much experience in that. And then you're down to sort of Shugo Imahira at 10-1. Cameron Champ's playing, actually, 14-1.
Yeah.
But I think the more I look at that, the more I just think that's Matsuyama's to himself break a bit of a drought.
Okay.
It's wide open for him. So him and Rory, yeah, I could just say forget all the other bets this week, put my entire stake on Rory, but I'll put him in a double at 20s.
21.5.
Yeah, 21.5. Fair enough to me.
Yep. Okay. Rory McIlroy and Hideki Matsuyama in the double then. I've actually got three picks for the World Tour Championship.
Okay, you far away.
Have you got more picks then?
I've got one more. No, I've got two more.
Okay, two more. I'm going with Thomas Detry as my first selection. I know he's a player that you've followed. And did you put him up in Turkey when he finished 32nd?
Cheers for that.
Sorry.
You could have said when he played really well, but tailed off at the finish.
Yeah, sorry. and we could be barking up the wrong tree completely, couldn't we, in terms of his talent, Thomas Detry? But I just can't ignore his recent numbers.
Well, how are we barking up the wrong tree? I think his talent is pretty much a given.
Do you think he's as talented as some of those players around him in the market that have proven more? I'm thinking.
Well, he's not a short price, is he? At 55.
No, it's not a short price. But McIlroy and Rahm are taking such a chunk out of the market.
Yeah.
You haven't got many short prices away from the leading sextet, I suppose.
Mm.
I think Detry is. I think Detry is going to win again on tour very soon.
For the first time.
Yeah, he won the Belgian event, didn't he? We're not counting that. Did win the Belgian event, didn't he?
No.
Didn't he? I thought he won the Belgian event with Thomas Peters.
You're thinking of the World Cup of Golf.
Is that what I'm thinking of?
Yeah, not the Belgian knockout.
Sorry. I'm thinking of the World Cup of Golf. Is that not an official sanctioned event?
Well, it's something, but it's not a European Tour win.
Is it not?
No.
Okay. Well, hopefully he'll win a European Tour event soon then. Yeah, that's the, it was with Thomas Peters, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in Australia, wasn't it, last year? Or this time last year?
Yeah, I thought it was co-sanctioned, but I must be completely wrong.
Well, I'm pretty sure it wasn't, but what he hasn't done is win an individual event.
There we go.
We can say that for sure.
Definitely. And last week he had a chance to win one, didn't he? The Nedbank Golf Challenge. He was bang there going into the final round. I didn't watch the event. Did you watch much of it?
Yeah, I did quite a lot of it last week.
Did he appear to get nervy? Because he fell away quite quickly on Sunday.
Yeah, he sort of...
And then he kind of recovered, didn't he, to land the place money?
Yeah.
If anyone was on him.
Yeah, it was if you were on him that week, I think your money was gone fairly early on the Sunday in terms of winning.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Which is a bit disappointing still.
I just look at his numbers. He led the field in strokes gained approach and was second in strokes gained putting. And that's basically the exact combination I want for the Earth course because it is so easy off the tee. I want someone that's striking their irons well, setting up loads of birdie opportunities and putting well. And that's exactly what he did last week. He has had one start on the Earth course as well, finished 29th. And I just think he can go well with that experience under his belt and hopefully land his first individual title in an event sanctioned by the European Tour.
Yes, yes. He's officially, all he's ever won is a Challenge Tour event.
Yeah.
The Bridgestone Challenge.
So I suppose the question is still there to be answered from Thomas Detry.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. 55s is fair each way, I think.
I think each way, yeah. If you look at the list of winners down the years, you don't really find a sort of Thomas Detry type, I would say.
No, yeah,
You've getting the elite, really, but obviously 55, you've got the each way element of that.
I've just picked three guys that I think will... I expect either Rahm or McIlroy or possibly both to fill one of those five spots.
Yeah, I've got a player then, I've already sort of mentioned him really, Matt Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
Who can win the race to Dubai, can finish as Europe's number one golfer by winning. Second is no good. He's got to win, so that's clear. And wow, has he been close this year? 4 second places this year, Matt Fitzpatrick. So he's, you know, that's why he can still win the race to Dubai, not having won until maybe the very end. Just keeps churning it out. Second in the Italian Open Rolex Series event. Seventh in the HSBC Champions in China. 10th in the Nedbank as well. Just playing so well. And, of course, he's a former winner on this course of this event. Won that in 2016 when maybe there was a feeling he didn't hit it far enough. But I think the yardage is a bit of a red herring, isn't it, in this event? I think it's you don't need to be a massive hitter or anything.
Yeah.
It can help, obviously. But if he can win there, then, you know, you can skin the cat in other ways. Fourth on his debut there as well. And then if you look through his other form, he's got a fifth in the Dubai Desert Classic, third in Abu Dhabi last year. So he's got a lot of desert golf form. I don't know, and he might just have a look at Tommy Fleetwood, who was in a similar position last week. Very, very talented, English, without a win. He might just look at that and think, oh, right, it's my turn.
Yeah.
Got Billy Foster on the bag, who won here with Lee Westwood previously. I just think he's got a great chance. 20-1, I thought was fair enough.
Yeah, are you going each way then, 20s?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going with an Englishman, actually, as my second selection. I thought 66-1 was a bit of value as well. Tom Lewis I quite like this week at 66ers. He's been feast or famine most of the season, but maybe his focus won't be on the European Tour next season, having won the end-of-season Tour Championship on the Korn Ferry Tour. But I think he can go well on the Earth course, and I thought 66-1 was a decent price for such a talented player. And it's not like he's out of form either. Shot four rounds in the 60s to finish eighth at the Portugal Masters. Low-key finish in Turkey, finished 32nd there. And then played really well last week to finish in a tie for 13th at the Nedbank. And he's always been at his best, Tom Lewis, in the early part of his career anyway, with the sun on his back in low-scoring conditions, which is what he's going to get this week. His Korn Ferry Tour Championship win came in 23 under par, two wins in Portugal, total of 21 under and 22 under. And he's had one start on the Earth course and finished seventh on his only appearance. 66-1. I like Tom Lewis this week, and I'll play him each way as well.
Yeah, good. I just mentioned him before my final pick, Lee Westwood.
Oh yeah, you fancy Westy?
Yeah, at 50s, I believe we have him.
Yep.
Yeah, he's obviously that first edition, this inaugural edition of this event. He went out and just took the field apart, I think by 6 shots, closed 66, 64 on the weekend. Was third when defending it the following year, fifth in 2013. And even though you kind of look at his bare results and you think they're quite good the last couple of, a few years, 13th in 2016, 20th last year, he was in the top five after 54 holes in both of those events. And yeah, we've seen a few sort of Sunday kind of capitulations from Westwood, or he's just not quite been there. But he won the Ned Bank this time last year to kind of show, oh, I can still do this. And he can still really come alive in big events. We saw him finish fourth at Royal Portrush in the Open Championship. That was an excellent result. Then I don't know what happened to him after that, whether he was just sort of mentally on holiday a bit, but he had a run of missed cuts and was just nowhere. But the last couple of weeks, he's come right bang back into it. 10th, yep. 10th in Turkey, 6th in Ned Bank on two other courses that he likes. So I just think he's the old trending in the right direction. So I'm not saying I was surprised by 50-1, but I thought that's certainly enough to get me involved, given what he's done here historically and his current form.
Plenty of picks this week, haven't we, on this event anyway?
Yeah. Well, it is a big one, isn't
it? Yeah, it is, yeah. I'm just going to throw a few quid each way on Adrianus at 125-1 as one of the outsiders. Yeah. I mean, make no mistake, he could easily flop this week, and we've been banging on about him most of the season, haven't we, in all honesty. But he's still looking for that breakthrough win, and I just thought 125s was worth a play each way. Won the Challenge Tour Grand Final in Dubai last year. 125s is just too good to miss, despite the lack of recent top quality form, which would be a concern.
Yeah, he comes in and out,
yeah,
doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. And I just thought 125-1 in conditions that should really suit him. It's just, yeah, too big for me to pass up.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's it for the picks. Honourable mentions? I mean, we've mentioned... Yeah, the two that I want to mention are Victor Perez.
Yeah.
Who I think is still underrated, and that's reflected in the betting. He's 55-1. I think that's decent if you fancy the Frenchman. And Bobby McIntyre. He just stormed through the field last week, didn't he, in Sun City. That must give him incredibly strong vibes going into this final event of the season. 33-1, Bobby McIntyre, which is the right price, but I it wouldn't surprise me if he went well.
Yeah, you could say the same about Matthias Schwab.
Yeah.
Just seems to have good week after good week after good week.
Yeah, they've got very similar profiles, yeah. Those two, haven't they? And have done throughout the season, really.
That's right. So, you know, there's no obvious reason why they should suddenly dip this week.
Yeah.
I think Patrick Reed could have a massive week. He was sort of close. 18s is kind of, you know, we found him in the market and all that.
Yeah.
But he's not finished outside the top 10 in 3 goes here. Was a runner-up as well. And you look at his current form, it's just... There's no weaknesses there at all. Never has a bad week. So he's someone who could play really well. There's a few I don't like who I think are kind of, I don't know what's happened. Matt Wallace, I don't like this week.
It's bizarre.
I don't know what's happened.
He's played a lot of golf as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think he's maybe just running on fumes.
Yeah.
I think maybe Shane Lowry's on the beach, possibly.
Yeah.
So I would shy away from them. Wiesberger, I think, carrying that number one status might just weigh him down.
Yeah.
A little bit. Anyone else near the front end that we haven't talked about? Fleetwood, what do you think of Fleetwood this week? I think that was his week last week, and he'll
possibly
just,
yeah.
Could he just keep, you know, keep the foot down and go on and win the lot?
It's maybe not his favourite course.
No,
it's
a little bit disappointing, isn't it? His course form. I think there's just one top 10, and that's a ninth.
Yeah.
But he used to have terrible form in Abu Dhabi, and then he won it back-to-back, so it's not like he can't win on this sort of desert track.
Mm.
But four, I didn't really get excited. Tyrrell Hatton obviously won in Turkey and was thrilled to do that, and he's got great Middle East form.
Very, very good. I mean, he's got good form at this track, hasn't he? Four top 15 finishes in 5 years, runner-up a few years back as well. So, yeah.
And it felt like he was so happy, wasn't he, to win in Turkey. So... He kept thinking he'd blown it, and then...
And do you think that will have an impact on this week? Do you think if he hadn't won in Turkey, would he be more or less likely to win this week, I suppose, is the question.
Tricky one, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
I don't know whether he's...
I'm happy to ignore the top end largely and just play for those two or three places, I suppose.
Yeah.
We'll see how we get on. Let's talk about the RSM Classic then, which is the PGA Tour event this week. Webb Simpson 9-1, Billy Horschel 14s, Matt Kuchar is 18-1, Charles Howell 20s, Kevin Kisner 25s, Harris English is 28-1, Scotty Scheffler is 30s, Alex Noren 33s, Russell Knox and Adam Hadwin and Aaron Wise and Dylan Fratelli all 35s, Brendan Todd 40-1 and 50-1 and bigger the rest. Looking for a hat-trick of wins on the PGA Tour, Brendan Todd. And just to put that into context, the last person to win three straight titles on the PGA Tour was Tiger Woods. That was back in 2006 as well. Even though it's unlikely, this event is actually tailor-made for a player with his skill set. Is 40-1 a bit insulting?
Possibly.
I can't see it happening, and that's why I'm not going with him. But... He's won two straight titles. He's going for his third straight win on a golf course that should suit him, and there's 12 players ahead of him in the market in a week event.
You can certainly argue it that way.
You can, yeah.
All I'd say was just from watching golf down the years, it won't happen.
Yeah. No, I don't think it will happen either. But there is a case to be made, isn't there?
Yeah, I guess so.
This event is played at the Sea Island Resort. The players have three rounds, assuming they make the cut, at the seaside course, and each have a crack at the plantation course, which is the much easier of the two. Both play to around about 7,000 yards, but the seaside course is a par 70. The plantation course is a par 72. And a number of these players, we say this every year, have set up home.
Yeah, loads of them.
On Sea Island. There are loads of them. And those that haven't necessarily play at the Sea Island Golf Centre as well. That's really popular, isn't it? So there's a lot of ties in that perspective. And tournament host Davis Love III is one of those players that resides on Sea Island as well.
Did you think about that as your first port of call? Look at all those locals and then see which was the best of them.
Yeah, I was looking at the wind as well as being like a defence to the golf course and whether or not it was going to be windy this week, which might have led me to an angle in, and it's not going to be windy at all, really. Saturday and Sunday it might pick up a little bit on the advanced forecast. I get to 10, 11 miles an hour, but Thursday and Friday are going to be flat calm. So I've actually not got a pick in the event.
Good grief.
Yeah, no.
What?
No pick in the event. I went round in circles, in all honesty.
It's the last PGA Tour event of the year.
I think it's because I had three and
you're a disgrace.
I'll probably be throwing a few quid on Perez as well, so I might even have four bets in
right, you're fully
in Europe.
I'm fully
engaged in the World Tour Championship.
Right.
There was only one player that caught my eye, in all honesty, and that was Dylan Fratelli at 35-1, but I have this down as a track where experience is a real positive, and he's not got any.
No, do you?
Yeah, if it was windy, definitely.
See, I'm the other way with
this.
If you look at the last four of the last five winners, it was their first ever PGA Tour win.
Yeah,
three of them were in their 20s.
Yeah,
I think you can get into your head that this is like an old man's pottering around sort of tournament.
Yeah,
I mean, it's actually been really good for the guys looking for the first win.
Okay,
so there.
Yeah, Fratelli's not looking for his. I liked Fratelli because
he won the John Deere,
yeah. which is quite a similar. You know, you're gonna short course.
Yeah,
wedge play important.
Make lots of birdies.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know that. Well, scoring all depends on the weather here, doesn't it, basically? Because you've had scores ranging from 13, 14 under winning to 20 under winning, basically. But yeah, Dylan Fratelli was the one that stood out, but I'm not going to play him, I don't think.
No.
How many picks have you got?
12.
Good.
No, two.
Two.
I've got two.
Go on, fire away.
Yeah, I'm going to go on this theme of it's been good for the younger players looking for the first win.
Yep.
Just maybe the best of the current crop, Scotty Scheffler.
Okay. You think he is the best of the current crop?
Well, who hasn't won yet? Well, you could maybe argue Victor Hovland hasn't won yet, but yeah. Victor Hovland would be sort of 18s in this field.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. He'd be short. I think he'd be, he might even be shorter.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Scottie Scheffler, I still think he's a little bit of a price. What have we got him?
30.
30, yeah. That's sort of okay-ish for what he's doing. Two-time winner on the Corn Ferry this year, the most recent of those in August. And then he's not really missed a beat since then. He's just had a load of good results. Seventh at the Greenbriar, 16th Sansom Farms, third at the Bermuda Championship, where he opened with a 62. So that obviously shows his birdie-making capacity. 18th in the Mayakoba last week. So he's not putting a foot wrong. He's not played here before. I quite like the fact that his one start in Georgia was a second place at the Savannah Golf Championship. So he's played well in the area. I just think it's a bit of a chance for him to pick one off before what's been a fantastic year for him comes to a close. And just that, certainly encouraged by the fact that younger players have done well there. I think he's 23.
Yeah. Okay, so you're going Scottie Scheffler as your number one pick. What about the number two pick?
Yeah, that's me again because you've refused to do one.
Yeah, I'm not doing one this week.
I'm going way down.
Would he be the number one pick as well? Would he be definitely the headline here?
As in out of my two?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Going way down the betting?
Yeah, that's hopefully still 125-1.
Okay.
Dominic Bozzelli.
Right, this is left field.
Well, sort of. But
yeah, he's 125-1.
Yeah, I think you can make a case for him. Again, he's a 20-something for his first win. So far this season, he's played well. He's made four of his five cuts, six in the Sansom Farm. So that would be a bit of each-way cash there. What I really like as well, he's really high up in the putting charts. I think 16th in strokes gained putting. Very good putter. A putting average, he was fourth for putting average in the Sanderson Farm, second for putting average in Houston.
Yeah.
And he's got the course form as well. You said a bit of course experience might help. Well, he's played it twice before. Last year, he finished like a train, shot 64, 65, 66 to get into 11th place. So he can play this track. I'm just hoping it's kind of a bit putter-led. I think he's someone who could start knocking them in from all over the place. Mm. I think he's...
The players say it's just like, just find the fairways and hit it in the centre of every green, basically. Yeah. Leave yourself 20 footers, and you happen to pull it or push it and get close to the pin.
I think he's ranked first in putts from something like 10 to 15 feet.
That's so interesting.
That's quite a good area that he might be putting from this week. So, finished well in Bermuda, pair of 68s on the weekend, but he has landed a place already this season. Bit speculative, but I just think he slightly fits the bill of what we might be looking for.
Okay. Any others you want to mention at the top end of the market? Obviously, Webb Simpson loves this sort of event in this part of the world.
He's
9-1.
Yeah, but he doesn't sort of win enough of them to be going off at 9-1.
Yeah.
Billy Horschel's got a really tight case. I think he's got course form and current form.
Really solid, isn't he? 14-1.
Kuchar finished 62 in Mexico last week, but his course form's not as good as you might think.
Made a hole in one, didn't he? That was fun on Twitter.
Yeah, he's not as good as you think. His course form here. Mm. Kevin Kisner's won before. Harris English. I mean, could he go the week after 28?
He'd be tempting. He'll tempt a few, won't he? Mm. Because he's here. Is he either a resident or he plays...
He's a Georgia Bulldog, isn't he? So, yeah, he'd have links to the place.
I think he either lives there or he plays at the golf centre.
Yeah, so there's him. I also looked at... If you want a kind of the older guy who's playing really well, putting well, Brian Gay.
Yeah.
He's got some really good course form here and is playing nicely. He could maybe
50-1's fair on Brian Gay. He was another one that definitely stood out.
Yeah, I think as well, I think Bo Hostler's got a win in an event like this, maybe.
Yeah.
He's lost his card, obviously, and then got it straight back through the Corn Ferry Finals. And he's dropped a few hints this season.
80-1 he is.
Yeah, so he's another one. I mean, you can go on and on, really. There's so many. Aaron Wise has won it before. You said Dylan Fratelli. I looked at him.
Yeah.
Someone mentioned Chris Kirk as well. He's played, like, tons of... rounds at the course.
He was always one a few years back. Yeah. You know, when he was in his purple patch, basically. Yeah. He always won that popped up on the radar here.
Yeah. The other one I thought of a little bit, when I read some quotes how he changed his process and he'd been getting in his own way. Zach Johnson, he's a local.
Yeah.
In his 50s, I thought, down the years here, he's been much, much shorter.
Oh, way, way shorter.
And has he now...
Do you think he's rededicated himself? His exemption's almost up, isn't it, I think, from his Open Championship win. I think there's a...
Didn't he get 5 years then?
Yeah, you get 5 years, I think.
Right.
For the Open.
So he won that in 2015.
Yeah. So this would be his last... I think this next year is the last year of his exemption.
Right.
So I think he would have to play well this year to keep his card in next year.
I read through some quotes a few months back.
I don't know if he'll maybe get another year because of career earnings and stuff like that. Yeah.
Last 2 years here, 8th and 7th.
Yeah.
After some slightly strange form before that. But he was 23rd in Mexico, 14th in the Sanderson Farms. There's enough hints there, I think, if you're a Zach Johnson fan to go in at 50s on this course.
Okay, shall we wrap up?
Yes, there's quite a lot of wrapping to do, isn't there?
Yeah, there is, especially in the DP World Tour Championship. I'll spin through my three picks, first of all. I'm going Thomas Dettry, 55-1, Tom Lewis, 66-1, and Adrianus at 125-1, a point each way on all three of those. And you've got a lot to get through here.
So I'll have a point win on the McIlroy Matsuyama double at 21.5-1.
Yeah, 21.5-1.
Yeah, then Matt Fitzpatrick will have a point each way at 20s.
Yep.
And then Lee Westwood a point each way at 50s.
Okay.
And then over in the States, the RSM Challenge, Classic even.
Yeah.
I will have a point each way on Scotty Scheffler at 30s. And half a point each way on Dominic Bozzelli at 125.
Very good. Thank you for your company.
Cheers, Dave.
Thank you, everyone that stopped by and listened. It's been our pleasure. You can find this podcast at audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill, and you can obviously check us out on Twitter as well. Please do, and drop any notes about the podcast to @dkellner and @DaveTyndallGolf. Dave, thank you again for your company.
Cheers, Dave. And we're not here next week, are we? Because there's nothing on. No, as far as we can see.
I think I've had a look, and there is a couple of events on next week. So no. I won't be here next week.
What is on then?
It is the Hong Kong Open on the European Tour.
Right. So that kicks straight away.
Straight back in.
Okay.
And I think it's the Alfred Dunhill Championship at Leopard Creek as well. I think there's two European Tour events next week, I think.
Right. Other stuff coming up. We've got the President's Cup in December. The Aussie Open, because so many good people are playing in the President's Cup, that's attracted a really nice field.
Yeah.
So that's worth previewing as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tigers event, the Hero Challenge, and then Europe sort of gets going again.
Yeah, I mean, next week there's two events because there's those two on the European Tour. Yeah. I don't know what the quality of the fields will be like on both of them. And then obviously the Hero World Challenge is on the following week, and the Mauritius Open on the European Tour is on that week as well. So I think definitely...
So we will be back.
Yeah,
then.
I think definitely the next 2 weeks we will be here, and we will take some sort of break around Christmas time, possibly.
Which is fair.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. And make sure you check out the betting at williamhill.com. And thanks to you all for listening to this golf podcast. Thank you to Dave for his preview. And he will be back next week alongside A.N. Other to preview the two events on the European Tour. We'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.